Square with the head coach of the football team, suggesting that he was very close to getting back to practice yesterday.
All right, so as we wait on the Steelers 53-man roster, the Pirates news is that they finally put their fans out of their misery of watching Andrew Heaney pitch. Heaney came into last night's game against the Cardinals, a competitive game, and took a match and a can of gasoline to the mound and lit himself on fire, gave up 5 runs in 2/3 of an inning. It ballooned his ERA with the Bucks to 5.39. This guy got more than Tommy Pham in free agency. He was, by dollars given out, the Pirates' biggest free agent signing this offseason. He does not even make it through the season. He gets DFA'd today. He pitched enough last night to go over the 120-inning threshold, which was a big deal for Heaney, because it triggered a $50,000 bonus. So this is the opposite of what happened with Rowdy Tellez last year.
What would Cook say? Good work if you can get it? I mean, he basically napalmed a game for them and got paid a tiny little bit extra to do it.
And the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Greg Brown joining us in his weekly spot. Greg, does this prove once and for all that what happened with Rowdy last year was for baseball reasons if the Pirates allowed Andrew Heaney to pitch last night to make $50,000?
I don't know. I don't know if it proves anything. I never suspected that they did something last year to prevent Tellez from. I think they just did it.
Well, you have to know that narrative was at least out there last year, Greg.
Oh yeah, well I think we probably talked about it. I'm sure it was out there. I mean, everything, and I get it. Believe me, I get it. Until they start to win again, and until they straighten this whole thing out, everybody's suspicious of every move, and I certainly understand that. The timing was bad last year, I think, with Tellez, and it made it look suspicious, I guess, is the best way to say it.
I still don't fully understand why they gave Heaney enough innings to get to this number. I'm not even talking about to save the 50 grand. I just mean, why did they continue to pitch him in a season that was going south? Exactly. He had been bad since May 1st, Greg.
Well, I mean, I know we've talked about this before. But I've said this leading up to the deadline. My personal opinion is that it doesn't make sense for me that they keep veterans, and that includes Tommy Pham, to be quite blunt. It just doesn't make sense to me that anybody, including Andrew Heaney, no disrespect, that anybody is taking any innings or at-bats away from players who might help the team in 2026, because for me, everything that is done now should be geared toward winning in 2026.
Greg,
Andrew Heaney pitch doesn't do that.
Would you throw Jack Sawinski into that bucket, or is he just so bad where it's disrespectful to maybe other guys to even give him at bats when you're hitting 120 as a big leaguer?
No, I believe that the exact opposite. I think that as soon as the deadline, Sawinski should have been playing every single day and getting as many at bats as humanly possible. I think they've tried to do that for me, not because it's Pham, in my opinion, it's Pham who's taking at bats away from Sawinski, and that does not make sense to me.
What do you think could be, what rationale could there be for Pham continuing to get the at-bats? That's what I'm with you on this, Greg, and I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts or insights or you've heard about what might be Ben Cherington's motivation and now Don Kelly, when he's filling out that lineup card, their collective motivation for having Pham in there and penciling him in.
Oh, only on what they've said publicly. I think it's something about how they like his leadership, and they still feel the games are important to try and win. So I can only go on that.
We had Dan Zangrilli come on with us yesterday, Greg, and say he thinks Connor Griffin could make the Pirates opening day roster next year. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think we talked about that last week. I said it's incredibly remote. I mean, incredibly remote, but I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand that it's an impossibility. It's not an impossibility, especially if he ends up playing some AAA ball at the end of this year. Then it's more possible. If he doesn't, then I think it's almost impossible. But he's got to get to that point where he's getting some ABs, I think, at the end of the season at the AAA level. Again, It's not likely, but you can't say it's impossible the way he seems to be dominating every level.
Well, who is their shortstop if it's not him next year?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who is the Pony? Why am I blanking on the shortstop that's going to be a free agent who wouldn't be in the superstar Kyle Tucker tier, although he's slumping his way out of that designation? There's a shortstop to be who's going to be a free agent.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up Pagero's name, but they, for whatever reason, Greg, don't seem to want to give him reps over there, and they're playing Triolo all the time at shortstop.
Well, and that was my other thing. When the whole deadline passed, my other idea was just see what you got. Let Pagero, because he was such a top after they traded for him. He was like the man. And somebody soured on him along the way, but I would have, you know, again, it's just me saying as a fan, I would have played him every day at short, and I would have moved Triola to third. That's what I thought they were going to end up doing. But this is the way they wanted to go about it. And you know, I know they've got their reasons, and they're trying like heck to do the best they can. It's just I just don't necessarily agree with the game plan.
Greg, I know we ask you a lot about individual players, and I know there's probably one more individual player that Pony will ask you about in a minute, but I'm going to ask you a broad baseball question. You've been around a lot of teams for a lot of years. You've seen a lot of Pirates teams come and go, good teams, bad teams, etc. How on earth do you explain a team being 39-30 at home, a 90-plus win pace at home, and playing to a 120-loss win pace on the road? That same baseball team, same players. How is one team 9 games over at this point at home and 27 under 500 on the road?
Can't explain it. I think it's just, it's one of those things. It's an outlier. It's an anomaly. It just happened. I mean, you know, honestly, bad teams play bad on the road. And the Pirates, yeah, they're better at home. They're still not a good team. They're better at home. But overall, you know, if they're a good team, the records would be better on both sides. Most teams don't play great on the road. You know, the old adage is you try to play about 500 on the road.
They're not like cheaply winning at home, though, because their run differential is plus 22. That's reasonably solid. Like, they're not getting by totally by the skin of their teeth there. That's what, if they were underwater on a runs differential basis and they were 39-30, I'd say, okay, they're very lucky. And that's why they're 39-30. They're not. Like, they're winning games pretty objectively. And it just baffles me that they could be world historic atrocious away from PNC Park.
I didn't look at the splits for Andrew Heaney, but is he better at PNC Park?
Andrew Heaney's basically from March until April 30th. When the calendar turned to May and flowers started to sprout, Andrew Heaney began to throw batting practice, regardless of the situation.
Okay, I was just wondering, because if you take last night's game and you play it at PNC Park and Heaney comes in, does he give up 5? And get only 2 outs at PNC Park? I don't know.
His away, he actually is. It's funny. I poo-pooed what you said. I will give you the real answer, Greg. OPS against Heaney at home, 702. OPS against Heaney on the road, 939.
Good Lord.
Every hitter basically becomes like Juan Soto prime, or, you know, I don't know, Aaron Judge's like reasonable facsimile on the road against him. So you're right, actually.
I mean, again, I don't know. I mean, that's one game, but I was thinking about that question was asked of Donnie again yesterday before the game. He said, if I knew, I'd, you know, of course we'd figure it out. If I knew the answer, we'd implement that. But Heaney coming, the reason they lost last night, in my opinion, is because Heaney pitched.
Correct.
So that was on the road, and just so happened they used him last night. And they also, you know, Ronnie Simon, I don't know how much of the game you guys watched, but Ronnie Simon, base running blunder.
Baffling. Yeah.
That happens at home or the road. You know, it just so happens. It happens in St. Louis that he decides to take off for third base on that comebacker to the mound. Not that they would have won the game, but all that comes into play.
Greg, if Ben Cherington was making a case to be back as GM, how solid is this argument? Look at how well our minor league teams are performing. Look at how well our minor league organization is now ranked by Baseball America. Oh, by the way, I drafted Connor Griffin. He wasn't 1-1, and he's the best hitting prospect in baseball. And also, even though the outside world doesn't give me credit for this, I did pick Paul Skeens over Dylan Cruz. Skeens is going to win the Cy Young, and Cruz is hitting under 200 this year.
Yeah, I think that's outstanding. if you're defending him. I would agree with that. He could also make the case, we've talked about this all year long, that if, I mean, it's a big if, but if Horowitz and Gonzalez are in that lineup every single day, do things change? Tommy Pham, if he performs in April and May like he's performing in much of June, July, and August, and those things happen, if Cruz performed like you know, they had hoped, they scored just the four runs, I hear that time and time again from people inside and outside the organization, and it's so true. They really are, if you look at it, at the one hand, at 57 and 75,
yep,
they seem like they're miles away from contending. On the other hand, if you look at what their record is when they do score four, how good their pitching staff is, they really don't seem to be all that far away.
Starkey said that, and you know how negative he can be, and he did turn 60
today. He pounded the table, Brownie, and said they're going to have a good rotation next year and that they already have one right now. And yes, he did turn 60 today.
Well, anyway, I mean, to the point that they really aren't really that far away. If you look at it, and going back to Andrew's case for Ben and what Ben should be saying, all those things, all those points are being made, I'm sure, and he would be right. We would be right by saying that about him. What he's done with the pitching staff, you got to give him some credit for that. The pitching is outstanding, and he's the guy that's kind of molded this staff. He has to be applauded for that.
Greg, enjoy the game in St. Louis tonight, where now they're drawing flies after years of being like the number one fans in all of baseball. It was amazing last night how many empty seats there were.
Well, again, it's the old adage again. If you don't win, you don't draw. It doesn't matter what sport, doesn't matter what town. And this is another prime example. Many, many, many years ago, when the Cardinals were not very good, they weren't drawing anybody either. And that's the case. Not that you root for it, but it's obvious. You got to win to draw in any sport, in any town.
Thanks, well, Greg.
You don't have to root for it, Greg.
I know, I hate the
Pony
Cardinals.
And I are absolutely allowed to say, and you can just chuckle and say, that's your prerogative, boys, that we hate the Cardinals and are kind of glad to see it.
That's your prerogative, boys.
Thank you, Greg.
Talk
again next week. All right, it's time for our bets to make the Steelers' final roster, brought to you by Bet Parks. Bet on sports and play all your favorite casino games for real money on the Bet Parks online casino and sportsbook app. We still don't have a Steelers roster. Donnie just asked a question during the break that I'd like you to ask on air because I think it's relevant to this conversation.
I mean, I could be completely off here, but it makes me wonder, like, is some sort of deal in the works? Like, we're now 15 plus minutes, almost 17 minutes past the 4 p.m. deadline, and we have nothing official from the team. Nobody, like, none of the insiders, none of the writers have anything.
You've inspired our guy Nate on Twitter, a very loyal tweeter. He's just sending a GIF of Alec Pierce doing the tough guy look that a team does for every player every year.
What else do we think the holdup could be?
Well, it sounds like there's some
Howard thing,
IR funny business that might be going on.
That was my other thought, Pony. It seems like that this is getting very convoluted with the Howard to the IR, how they're doing it, what specifically they're actually trying to do. The why of that whole thing is interesting to me. Like, what really do they feel like? It feels like a lot of machinations potentially with Howard and his IR status or not. To what end? To preserve a spot? Like,
I've got people texting in that last year, even though the deadline was 4, we didn't find out until closer to 5. I don't remember that for some reason.
Also, it's just weird that
other teams' entire list of cuts have come out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm looking at the entire Eagles.
The Browns sent theirs out like an hour ago.
The Browns are like, yeah, we don't need till 4 o'clock. Most of these guys suck, so we're going to pick the 53 who suck the least.
Good point. In the meantime, Adam Schefter had another update on Cam Hayward when he was on McAfee today. You tell me if you guys have heard him say this about the Hayward situation. Asked by Tone Diggs, what's going on with Cam Hayward, if we should take Hayward returning to practice as a sign that Hayward is either done asking for more money, or we should look at it as maybe a truce, like Hayward's just like, yeah, well, we'll figure it out and you'll eventually give me more money before we play. Like, I trust you. You're good for it. Here is Adam Schefter's answer to that question.
It did not go away. It's still there. It is unresolved. You know, I think Cam Hayward talked about the fact that he was willing to retire. Now, I haven't heard anything since then, but there are a few unresolved situations. And this one just has not generated as much conversation, either because people don't believe him or he's older or whatever it may be. I think this one, we haven't heard the last of this one just yet.
Okay. So he said it's still a looming issue. It's still a question mark. And then he said, very like in a very cavalier way, like everybody knew this, that Hayward has mentioned retirement. I don't really remember that. Do you?
No, I don't.
At any point,
maybe now that I'm trying to think back, maybe in passing, or have other people hinted at it? Have we thought about it?
He didn't say hinted at it. He said Hayward mentioned it.
That doesn't...
Here, listen to it again.
It did not go away. It's still there. It is unresolved. You know, I think Cam Hayward talked about the fact that he was willing to retire.
I think Cam Hayward talked about how he was willing to retire.
I mean, Cam is media savvy, and I am certain has somebody in his camp who would tell him that Adam went on McAfee and said this if he didn't flat out like hear it himself. If that's inaccurate, I would think he'd blow up Schefter's spot on Twitter, don't you? I never said that.
Well, I haven't, in fairness, I haven't seen these comments today go anywhere. So
no.
I don't know if that means
But McAfee
that people...
show tweets out everything that everyone says.
I know. But I don't think they... Donnie, did they tweet anything out about what Hayward said? You were on the Pat page. Did you see any update from... Because you're right. They do have a very... They do
a
very,
very
good job
robust,
of sending...
Yeah, they'll put a little...
I mean, yeah, he has a whole crew of guy behind the scenes that...
Yes, there's like 10 of you.
No, they just do a good job. They post.
Actually, there might be more like 30 of you.
They snip video clips and they'll post one little kind of sizzle line to get you to click on the clip. And it's usually, what, 2 minutes at a time, maybe? And it's, I mean, it is a robust, and I will give them a ton of credit, a very sharp social media operation. So if the biggest insider in the NFL world says this about a very high profile player, not just for the Steelers, but in the league, I would have thought it would have warranted a post.
Yeah, I don't see anything. Schefter had
that's
the thing
weird.
On.
That's strange. That
and Schefter hasn't sent out a tweet about it either.
Yeah, that
Schefter hasn't said anything like in his own reporting about where the Hayward situation is.
Did he privately get like somebody from Cam's camp to reach out and say Cam never said that? And so everybody's solution is instead of tweeting about it incessantly, they're just going to pretend like he never said it.
Like he never said it.
I
know what you're saying.
I know I'm probably going down the conspiracy well here, but I would think that might be an explanation.
I mean, the other explanation is it's one of the busiest days of the NFL
Taylor
year.
Swift and Travis Kelce got engaged, and who gives a rat's ass about whether Cam Hayward threatened retirement?
Well, I was going to say all the roster moves that got
Come
made.
Come on,
yes.
You know what the big story is. John Rothstein putting it out there. Andy Toole and Robert Morris starting a series with Drake.
I'm sorry. I don't know if Donnie agrees with this. I hope you don't find this insulting. But I do think in that Cincinnati Bearcats picture of the Kelces that's gone viral today.
Jason looks like
him. I do think Jason looks,
yeah,
just,
looks just
like
you,
man.
Dude.
Like, absolutely I mean, like you. If somebody said that he was your older brother, I would 100% buy it, man.
It is not a knock to me at all to say that I resemble either of those two.
Question
well,
two about
in
that.
In fairness, I don't think you look at all like Travis. I think you look a lot like
I've
Jason.
I've always
though.
Thought it was more Jason, yes.
Question for both of you about that picture, because it's been bugging me. Kelce, I would say, is kind of like your bog standard looking dude who plays in the NFL. He's got short, you know, short hair, whatever, just looks like a big dude who plays football. In that Cincy picture,
yeah,
he looks like a kid who didn't get a present for his birthday given like the fish lip.
Travis?
Yes.
He's,
what is that like look he's getting? Donnie, do you know what I'm talking about? No, but he looks like this. It's like he's sad. Like he's sticking his bottom lip out for no apparent reason. Or like he had somebody inject it beforehand. It is because you never see him look like that now. He looks like, Donnie, tell me he doesn't look like he got like socks instead of a video game. And he got told before that picture.
Yeah, he's doing the tough guy look.
It doesn't look tough. He looks sad.
He's
he looks
tough.
Bummed out.
He's trying to do fake tough. Yeah.
It just looks stupid. Well, I don't know.
Now they're two of the most famous.
She's the most famous person. The most famous person on the planet, I would say. And it's probably got to be refreshing for him on some level, right? He's in the NFL circles. He's ultra famous. In this relationship, he's like the football player that she happens to be engaged to.
Why did you also just tweet, my CTE must be catching up to me?
That was a reply.
About what?
Well, because we had multiple tweets of, well, they didn't get it out until 4:30 last year. Hold your horses.
Oh.
So which I just don't recall.
I don't remember
whatsoever.
It either. I didn't know that it was standard operating procedure by the Steelers to try to be the last team
that
got
they're prepping
their
that tweet
cuts
for
out there.
They're prepping that tweet where there it says, instead of posting a screenshot of what their roster
it's
looks like.
It's a helmet with a
it's
sponsor.
A helmet and it says, like, check out our roster final cuts brought to you by.
Well, we also have an edition of Crybaby Kabali.
Oh, no. Now what?
Because he texted me when we brought up how the roster wasn't out. He said, normally I would tell you guys, but then I'll just get trashed.
Yeah, all right.
For what? It. Wait a minute.
What, the fact that we gave him a hard time the last couple of days and just busting chops, and now he's mad? This is all just Kabali trying to stay in the news cycle on our show.
Well, he tweeted out Khan today and the William Shatner meme. And everybody went crazy with it. He did massive numbers on Twitter because he hoodwinked Steelers fans into thinking that he had huge news again.
Yeet.
Yeah, and I asked him what was going on, and he said, I'm just watching Star Trek.
When I think of Khan, I think of Shere Khan from the Jungle Book.
To which I wanted to say, like, I did say it to him, actually. Mark Kabali's the last person in the world who I would think would be at his house watching Star Trek.
Because you think he would call Star Trekkies nerds.
Yes. Yeah, I do.
What
actually
do you
think
Mark would be watching at his house? Like old American Gladiators reruns?
Karate Kid for the 197th time.
That's true.
Like an old wrestling pay-per-view from the early 90s.
Nothing wrong with that.
He goes to YouTube and he finds like a highlight reel of Alan Faneca pancake blocking people.
Again, you're starting to speak my language.
Right?
Here.
I mean, that's
YouTube's been feeding me Mila Jovovich in Resident Evil lately, Donnie. I don't know why. I've been watching Resident Evil clips.
Are those?
That's like the crummy movies.
Do you agree
that
all these things would rank far ahead of him watching Star Trek episodes at home?
Yeah, I didn't strike him as a Star Trek guy.
Speaking of things that probably would pop up on YouTube, what's your guy from Pawn Stars, Donnie? The annoying
Rick Harrison.
Rick Harrison. Our guy Josh Carney over at Steelers Depot. We do like Josh, even if Steelers Depot guy doesn't like us, and Josh, I think, likes us. He does the meme, Don. NFL, 53-man roster deadline is 4 p.m. Omar Khan, best I can do is 4:30. You probably love a good Rick Harrison meme.
I do. I used to watch that show all
the
time.
Well, hold on. No, hold on here for a second. They have to have the roster to the league by 4 o'clock. It's the delay in actually releasing it. I wouldn't imagine that the league goes, oh, you guys need 10 extra minutes
or
30 extra
that.
Minutes. They've submitted this roster to the league. They're just being difficult as a franchise about sending it out publicly for
consumption. Well, come on, Steelers Insider. If it's official and the list is out there somewhere, someone go get it.
Leak it. Leak it.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. It is time for the Donnie Football Debrief, his biggest football topic of the day, brought to you by Saloni's, Italian bread company, over 100 years of baking experience. Donald?
The debrief, August 26, 2025. The Browns have named their backup quarterback one day after trading Kenny Pickett to the Raiders. It is Dylan Gabriel, not Shedeur Sanders.
Yes, as it should be, because Dylan Gabriel was better than Shedeur Sanders in the preseason. And Sanders' last game against the Rams on Saturday was hilariously bad. Everything good he did in the Carolina game, he gave back in that game against LA. It was 2-3 and outs. Then it was, I think, 3 more drives in which there were 4 sacks, a strip sack fumble, drifting back into the pocket. Like
He did that like, in college a lot at Colorado like, and got away with it.
Like you would get away with in Tecmo Bowl, like running all the way back to your goal line
and then launching a 200-yard pass. Yeah. I love that. Great strategy.
He kept doing that in NFL games and getting sacked for 20-plus yard losses. And something weird happened where the Rams scored to tie the game with a minute and change left. And instead of giving Sanders the two-minute drill to win the game, Kevin Stefanski put Tyler Huntley, the old Ravens quarterback, in the game, knowing full well he was going to cut Huntley the next day.
So instead of possibly seeing something from Sanders, he just put him on ice. I mean, the whole drifting back, by the way, and then getting sacked because it's the NFL, it's not college, that is objectively one of the things people said about him as to why he wasn't the prospect that maybe he was initially hyped to be. There were a lot of, I wouldn't say major red flags, but I would say it was this. Drifts a lot and kind of made off-script plays that you can't always make in the pros. Had a lot of throws, and this one resonated with me, that if you go look, and I still thought the guy could have gone on day two, probably should have. Had a lot of throws that if you'd go and look at the Shedeur Sanders highlights, you'd realize it was Travis Hunter coming back to the ball, making a crazy play, and then taking it in for a touchdown. And just probably didn't have the raw tools physically to be really good. Dylan Gabriel's what, my height? 6 feet, maybe shorter? He's got a better arm than Shedeur Sanders. Like, objectively better arm.
I don't think it's a great arm.
It's better than Shadur's arm.
I think he makes better decisions.
So
and
it looks better, you think, because he's getting the ball out on time instead of, okay, I mean, maybe fine. But, okay, then functionally speaking, he's got a better arm right now for the NFL because he knows what he's looking at.
We have breaking news.
Okay.
The Steelers' roster cuts are out. And I have to be honest with you. Have you looked at the list here, Don?
Yes.
There's one name on here that I'm shocked by. Not to say he's a great player or anything.
Can I guess?
But there's three names in a row. I'm looking at them, and I think the one in the middle is the one I'm looking at.
But literally every single person I saw who made a 53-man roster had this guy making the team.
All right. How about we all count to three and say it at once? Ready? One, two, three. Chuck Clark.
Yeah. That's it. So Chuck Clark gets cut.
So does James Pierre and Beanie Bishop. I thought Pierre was going to make it. It sounded like a special teams gunner. He was a teams guy.
And Corey Trice got the
IR
designated for return. So at this very second, Skylar Thompson and Will Howard are both on the active roster. Beanie Bishop cut. Trey Sermon cut. Chuck Clark, James Pierre.
Theory.
Both cut. Yes.
I think Kizora, I'm just stealing this from him, hypothesized that they could try to wait a day or two, put Howard on the IR, and then bring back a guy like Chuck Clark, maybe a veteran, yo-yo the roster that way. He tweeted that out, so I'm bringing it up.
What would be the benefit in doing that?
Don't really understand. Because I guess what? How many guys can they designate for a return on the IR right now?
Oh, so I just thought about this, unless I'm missing something.
Because like, Kizora retweeted Steelers Depot. Because I don't get into this stuff like they do.
It's just going to cause our listeners' brains to melt here.
Somebody claimed you can put someone on the IR today without the designated return designation, and Steelers Depot said, if you do, they're out for the season. You have to designate them. So is there some sort of limit to the number of guys that can be designated to return?
Yes, we said that yesterday,
eight. So they want to, what, wait a day and do what with Will Howard? Still designate him
for
return? I don't
know. The other guy who would fit under that category, too, who I don't see his name on here, who just stood on the sideline and did nothing the entire preseason and for a big chunk of training camp was Dante Kent. The seventh round corner from Central Michigan who never played, and I don't see him on the IR, and he wasn't released. So I guess maybe they're trying to pull a fast one with him and Howard, wait a day on both those guys. Is it a day?
Saunders is hypothesizing here. Alan Saunders. The Steelers could re-sign vets not subject to waivers, which is Clark and Pierre.
Yep.
If they're looking to avoid using an automatic IR return designation on somebody like a Will Howard or a Dante Kent.
So they're just trying to, it's like trying to find a loophole in your fantasy football
draft. Sounds like
they're
trying to manipulate.
To draft a guy and stash him, whether that's.
Or it's like me finding out yesterday in the league that I run that Donnie's in that you can put suspended players on the injured reserve, and that's why I was able to just stash Jordan Addison for a little bit. Yes.
I'm trying to see here. It looks like all those defensive linemen made the team. So they kept Logan Lee.
Long snapper Logan Lee.
They kept Daniel Ukulele from the Patriots, who they signed, who I didn't really notice at all.
Equale,
thank you. I said it like that because that was Kabali's pronunciation, and I didn't.
He called him Daniel Ukulele?
He did.
Bill Guitar starting next to him.
And, okay, so Dominic Davis got waived.
The prevailing sentiment
so they
seems
kept,
to be.
So they kept the, hold on here, Chris.
Yes.
I want to see how many defensive linemen they kept.
Eight right
they
now.
They kept eight. Yep.
And eight DBs.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay. So Harmon, Benton, Hayward, three. Loudermilk, four. Black, five. Lee, seven.
Six.
Lee,
skipped,
six.
Skipped five.
Six. Ukulele, seven.
Equale.
And then who's eight?
Dominic Davis.
No, he got caught.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yep, sorry.
The with dude, the other guy with a crazy name from Jacksonville. Azizi Odemiwo made the team.
Would you like to try that one again?
I really would not.
Okay.
But Bishop is gone. They could not find a trade partner or anything with him. He had four interceptions last year. He went from undrafted guy to starting. He played, I think, decently. Not well, but I don't think he was like a disaster. Was benched for Cam Sutton.
They
wrongly.
Couldn't wait to bench Sutton, who then sucked, and they never seemed to want to give Beanie Bishop like a chance. I don't think Beanie Bishop is somebody that I'm going to pound the table for, but he
neither.
Made a couple of plays.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a pretty straightforward
But he went in the doghouse in a hurry here. Maybe it's because he did wipe his cleats on the
So everyone is essentially hypothesizing that this situation is that eventually Howard's going to get IR designated. And
so is this
gonna,
Kent kid.
And that they're going to bring either Clark and or Pierre back.
So none of their 2025 draft picks were cut. Every single one of them stayed on the roster for now.